This is number one in our Sophiad series, Wisdom Texts at the Jacama Door. You're listening to Sorka Berry, your editor and reader. This week we have for you part one of a series of texts from the Hermetica, attributed to Hermes Trismegistus. This one is called Asclepius, in which Hermes addresses Asclepius. All human souls, Asclepius, are immortal. But souls are not all of one kind. Different souls have been created in different fashions, for souls differ in quality. How quickly, Asclepius, you have lost your hold on the true doctrine. Have I not told you this before, that all things are one, and the one is all things, seeing that all things were in the Creator before he created them? And rightly has it been said of him that he is all things, for all things are parts of him. Throughout our discussion, then, be careful to remember him, the one who is all things, him who is the creator of all things. From heaven are derived all. Air enters into earth and water, and fire enters into air. That only which tends upward is life-giving, and that which tends downward is subservient to it. Moreover, all that descends from on high is generative, and that which issues upward from below is nutritive. Earth, which alone stands fast in its own place, receives all that is generative into itself, and renders back all that it has received. This whole, then, which is made up of all things, or is all things, consists, as you have heard me say before, of soul and corporeal substance. Soul and corporeal substance together are embraced by nature and are by nature's working kept in movement. And by this movement, the manifold qualities of all things that take shape are made to differ amongst themselves, in such sort that there come into existence individual things of infinitely numerous forms, by reason of the differences of their qualities. And yet all individuals are united to the whole, so that we see that the whole is one, and of the one are all things. The elements through which all matter has been endued with form are four in number: fire, water, earth, and air. But matter is one, soul is one, and God is one. And now, give me your whole attention, exerting to the utmost your power of thought and keenness of intelligence. For the doctrine which teaches of God's being needs for its apprehension such effort of thought as man cannot make, save by God's help. It is like a torrent plunging downward with headlong rush, so that in its swiftness it outstrips the man who strives to follow it, and leaves behind not only the hearers, but even the teacher himself. To heaven, a God perceptible by sense is committed the administration of all bodies, and the growth and decay of bodies fall under the charge of sun and moon. But heaven itself, and all things in it, are governed by God, and he, working through nature, is the maker of all general and individual forms of living things. For by all the heavenly bodies, which all alike are governed by God, there is poured into all matter an uninterrupted stream of soul. Matter has been made ready by God beforehand to be the recipient of individual forms of every shape, and nature, fashioning matter in individual forms by means of the four elements, brings into being, up to the height of heaven, all things that will be pleasing in God's sight. All are dependent on the powers above, and are distributed among individuals in the way that I will now describe. The individuals of each kind are fashioned in accordance with the form of their kind. The kind is a whole, made up of the individuals. The individual is a part of the kind. Thus, the God kind produces individual gods, and the daemon kind produces individual daemons. and so too the kind or race of men, and that of birds, and those of all beings which the universe contains, generate individuals of like form to their kind. And there is yet another kind of living beings, which are devoid of soul indeed, yet not without sensation, so that they are gladdened by all that does them good, and suffer pain from all that impairs and harms them. This kind consists of all things which are implanted in the soil and spring into life with firm fixed roots. And the individuals of this kind are spread abroad all over the earth. Heaven itself is filled with gods, and the gods are individually immortal. The other kinds of which I have spoken dwell in the space which extends from earth to the abode of the gods. And in all these kinds, the individuals are mortal. For the individual is a part of the kind, as a man, for instance, is a part of mankind, and must necessarily agree in quality with the kind of which it is a part. Hence, though all kinds are immortal, not all individuals are immortal. In the case of the gods, both the kind and the individuals are immortal. All other kinds, though they perish in their individuals, are kept in being by their reproductive fertility. Thus, the individuals are mortal, but their kind is everlasting. So that men are mortal, but mankind is immortal. But though all individuals exactly resemble the type of their kind, yet individuals of each kind intermingle with all other kinds. All daemons who have dissociated themselves from their own kind and have come to be united to the god kind through close connection and fellowship with some individual of the god kind are held to be godlike daemons. Individuals of the daemon kind who maintain unchanged the character of their own kind are called, well, and those who associate with men are called daemons friendly to man. And the like is said to be the same of men. Indeed, the range of men is yet wider than that of the daemons. The individuals of humankind are diverse and of many characters. They, like the daemons, come from above, and entering into fellowship with other individuals, they make for themselves many and intimate connections with almost all other kinds. Accordingly, the man who, in virtue of the mind in him, though he is akin to the gods, has attached himself to them by pious devotion, becomes like to the gods. He who has attached himself to daemons becomes like to the daemons. Those who are content with the intermediate station of their kind remain mere men and nothing more. And all other individuals of the human kind, according as they have attached themselves to individuals of this kind or that, will resemble the beings to which they have attached themselves. Man, then, is a marvel, Asclepius. Honour and reverence to such a being. Man takes on him the attributes of a god, as though he were himself a god. He is familiar with the daemon kind, for he comes to know that he is sprung from the same source as they. And strong in the assurance of that in which he is divine, he scorns the merely human part of his own nature. How far more happily blended are the properties of man than those of other beings. He is linked to the gods, inasmuch as there is in him a divinity akin to theirs. He scorns that part of his own being which makes him a thing of earth, and all else with which he finds himself connected by heaven's ordering, he binds himself by the tie of his affection. He raises reverent eyes to the heavens above, he tends the earth below. Blessed in his intermediate station, he is so placed that he loves all below him and is loved by all above him. He has access to all. He descends to the depths of the sea by the keenness of his thought and heaven is not found too high for him, for he measures it by his sagacity, as though it were within his reach. With his quick wit, he penetrates the elements. Air cannot blind his mental vision with its thickest darkness. Dense earth cannot impede his work. The deepest water cannot blur his downward gaze. Man is all things. Man is everywhere.